Ephesians chapter 6. I wanted our young people to be here. This is a word, the first word is to children, that all of us are children. If we're God's children, this will apply to all of us, children. Our Lord Jesus Christ called those grown men who followed him little children, didn't he? All the time. Verse 1, Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. This is right. Obey your parents. Sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, obey your parents. Sons and daughters. Sons of Stephen and Hope Montgomery, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Daughters of Charles and Melanie, obey your parents in the Lord. Daughters of Patrick and Jennifer, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents. This is right. It's right. Why is it right? Because God said so. Don't need another reason to. It's right. It's right. It's right because God said so. And it's right by them. I know these parents. They deserve to be obeyed. They do. They deserve this honor. It's right by them and it's right by you. It's the right thing to do. Obey your parents. Our Lord, now I'm going to say this one time. Maybe. I might repeat myself. For the sake of somebody listening for the first time or whatever. This is not talking about earning heaven by your works, by your obedience, okay? This is talking to children of believers, but it's all children, but I'm going to apply it to God's people who are saved one way, by the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. His works, not ours, okay? This is not to earn heaven. If you be a good boy and a good girl, you'll earn heaven. That's not what this is saying, okay? But there's a scripture that says, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Meaning you do what's right, it'll go right by you. That's just a law. That God's put laws, God put in effect. You do right, things will go right. You do wrong, you're going to have trouble. If you're willing, obedient, if you're a servant and honor and respect and do what's right, it'll go right by you. God will ensure that it does. But if not, if you're a rebel, it's going to be a hard road. The way of the transgressor is hard. Obedience is a whole lot easier. Boy, I learned that the hard way. 1 Peter 3. Go over to 1 Peter 3 with me. 1 Peter chapter 3. These are things that God has put into effect by His mercy and His grace. Look at 1 Peter 3, verse 10. You have it? And oh my, we could go on up. He's dealing with husbands and wives like Paul did. Wives, obey your husbands, and husbands, love your wives, and so forth. Verse 8, all of you be of one mind, compassion one to another, not rendering evil for evil. But verse 10, he that will love life, see good days, will refrain your tongue from evil. Lips, speak no guile. What a vile-mouthed, filthy-mouthed generation we live in. You know, I was taught to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Taught that respect. And by God's grace, I learned it and used it. You know, it benefited me greatly. Who are you going to give a job to? Somebody comes applying for a job in your business, whatever. And he just kind of, you know, he's dressed like a slob and he just acts like you owe him a job. Or another young man who's dressed respectfully and said, yes, sir, you want this job? Yes, sir, I sure do. Who are you going to give a job to? I remember an advertisement for a military school in Virginia. And it said, "We teach a foreign language." Yes, sir. And yes, ma'am. The foreign language. Mindy, you remember we were touring VMI one time? And we were walking down, looking at everything at VMI, and these cadets would go by and say, "Take your hat off. Hello, ma'am. Yes, sir." So impressive. Those young men are going to excel in this life. You can count on it. I'm not talking, am I going to repeat myself? You're not going to go to heaven for that. But this is the rule. This is what he's handed down. Read on. Verse 11. Let him eschew evil, do good. What's that mean? Come on. Don't you know what's right or wrong? Sure you do. Do good. Don't do evil. Eschew it. Avoid it. Seek peace. What's that mean? Be a peacemaker. The eyes of the Lord, verse 12, are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayer. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? If you do what's right. Look at chapter 4. Look at 1 Peter 4. Verse 14. Now he says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. Happy are you. If you suffer for righteousness' sake, for the truth's sake. He went on to say, he says it here. Read on. But let none of you, verse 15, suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, a busybody, and other men of matter. But if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed. And he said over in chapter 3, if they speak evil of you as evildoers, maybe they'll be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation, your conduct in Christ. So, you know, a Christian is not just what you say. It's easy to say you're a Christian. Easy to say that. It's not just what you say you believe. It's how you act. You say you believe a sovereign God, do you act like it? You murmur, you complain. That brings great reproach on our Lord. That makes a mockery of our religion. So, you know, walk upright, walk honest, paths of righteousness for His name's sake, as Christ. How did our Lord act and live and walk and talk in this world? Above reproach. He brought great honor. He wasn't trying to earn heaven. Why was he doing it? Because he's right. Because he was righteous. And that's what he was doing. Oh, he brought great. And the Lord was well pleased for his righteousness' sake. God couldn't even contain himself. He hadn't spoken in 400 years. And when he saw his son, he said, "I'm well pleased with my son." Hear him. Follow him. Believe him. Trust him. Do what he does. And be well with him. Be well with him. Children of God. Children of God now. Obey your parents. Your father. Your heavenly father. You were once, Ephesians 2 says, children of disobedience. Even as others, aren't you? Children of wrath, even as others. But God, now you've been quickened. Created in the image of Jesus Christ, a new creature in you, obedient. Not perfectly so. Oh my, we grieve over that, but you sure want to be, don't you? You sure want to be. 1 Peter 1, you still in 1 Peter? Look at verse 14. You have it? 1 Peter 1, 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And I'm not going to repeat myself. Ephesians 5, go back there. Ephesians 5, remember we started this thing in chapter 5 by submission. Remember that? last lesson in Ephesians 5, verse 21, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Submit to authority. Submit to authority. Peter, and he told us in 1 Peter chapter 2, let me just read this to you again. He says, and Paul wrote this in Romans, have your conversation honest among the Gentiles. If they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be king or supreme, or unto governors, unto them that are, those that are sent by him, all authorities of the Lord in, for the punishment of what? Evildoers. And he said, who will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? And this is the will of God. With well-doing, you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Show them. Okay? Now look at our text in Ephesians 6. Obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. This is the key. In the will of the Lord. In the word of the Lord. Whatever they say, obey them. If it's not against the will of the Lord. Same goes true with all authority, ordinances of man. If it's not in the Lord, against the laws of the Lord. Oh no. What did Peter say? Who wrote that? Ought we to obey God or man? Right? If a parent commands, this doesn't happen very often. I have known children to be saved and parents not saved. That's very rare. Doesn't happen very often. But if a parent commands something against the word of the Lord, don't obey it. Okay? If a father or mother does not come to worship the Lord, and a child does know the Lord, don't obey your parent. You obey your heavenly Father. Right? Right? No child has to submit to. No child has to submit to a drunken, abusive, vile, and wicked parent. No, sir. A wife does not have to submit to an abusive husband. Leave him. Leave him. You don't have to submit to him. Don't divorce him. The Lord take care of that. Yes, he will. He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. The eyes of the Lord over all. Overseeing the good and evil. He will. Vengeance is mine, he said. I'll take care of it. You just wait on the Lord. But you do not have to submit to an ungodly, abusive, vile person. Parent, husband, wife. Well, you don't do it. Don't do it. So, in the Lord. You see that? Obey them in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2. Honor thy father and thy mother. Honor them. Honor them. Not only obey, but bring honor to them. Bring honor to them. Speak to them with respect. Speak to them with respect. They, you know, love will do that. This is the fulfillment of everything. If you love someone, you'll treat them respectfully. You'll honor them. If you don't, you won't. That's the thing. And when God does work in His people, He makes them love the Father's honor and glory. And they want to bring Him honor and glory. They don't want to disrespect Him. They don't want to bring reproach on Him. They don't want to. He said. But honor them. Speak to them with respect. Do not call your parent the old man. You hear people all the time talking about the old man upstairs. That person doesn't know God. The fear of God makes you fear His name. Honor His name. Respect His name. This is my... We make mention that His... We say this a lot, don't we? Now more than ever, when His name has just been drug in the dirt by everybody's filthy mouth, we make mention His name is exalted. We don't even mention His name unless it's in honor and respect. The old man, now you don't love that Father, you call him that. Mm-mm. You speak to him with respect. You speak of him to others with honor and respect. Bring them honor. Verse 2 says, this is the first command with promise. Here it is. Now, notice with me, I'm not saying what God's word does not say. This is from Exodus 20. He said, this is the first command that God gives promise. Promise of eternal life? No. Where does the promise of eternal life come? Trust in Christ. But this, look at it, verse 3. That it may be well with thee and you may live long on the earth. May be well with you. Not eternal life, but a natural life, 70 or 80 years, maybe. This is a fact, as I've been saying. God is so merciful and God's so gracious that his natural laws are in effect. If the way of obedience is, it'll go well with you. The way of the transgressor, it's going to go hard on you. If you don't submit and obey authority and humble yourself and be meek and hard work and all that, if you don't do that, if you're a rebel and you're out for yourself, you'll probably destroy yourself. You destroy yourself. We've got some horse people in it. Why are all the horse people on row two? How'd that happen? Anyway, we got some horse people. We had horses. Dog, we got a lot of dog owners. Cat lovers. I'm not ashamed. This is a fact, even in training animals. A horse that won't obey you, a horse that won't be ridden, that won't drop that head, that won't submit to the yoke or the bridle, a horse that kicks and bucks and bites, what's going to happen to that horse? Whip. Or you're going to tie it down. You're going to hobble it, right? You're going to hobble it. Going to take away its sweet feed. That's the whole problem. Right? Isn't that right? Dogs. I not get on dogs because nobody in here knows how to train them. A dog that won't follow you, a dog that won't sit, a dog that won't lie down, a dog won't come to you, it's going to kill itself. Same holds true even more so with a human being. If you don't do what he says, you're going to destroy yourself. If you follow the world, who's a rebel against God and against all authority, young people, if you follow the world, you're going to go down with them. Because this world's going, God has determined it, has purposed it. He's going to bring this proud world down that rejects him and his son. He's going to make an end of it. He's going to be done with it. And the only ones who are going to live forever with him is those who believe him and glorify him and honor him and believe his son, trust his son. See, honor will come to those who honor and live honorably. Rebellion, a fool, scripture, you go back and read the proverb for yourself. How many times it talks about a rebellious son or a daughter? Is it just a grief to his father and a grief to its mother and going to destroy himself? A rebel. It's the only trouble. You can only look for trouble if you're a rebel. I know it from experience. But God. Right, Kelly?
Amen.
But God. That he has a remnant that he does that for. And the vast majority of rebels out here. He had mercy on me. Fathers, verse 4. Look at it. You fathers, and I meant to talk a little bit about hard work. I'm running out of time, but let me just say this. I was, there's a proverb that says, train a child up in the way it should go, and when it's old, it will not depart from it. Meaning, the way it should go. You can't save your children, but you can. Only the Lord does it. But you can't train them up the way they should act and live, and it'll go well with them, right? And that'll not depart from them. Even though I, you know, went out in the world as a prodigal son, I was still trained to respect people. I was still trained to respect authority. I was trained to work hard. I learned to work hard, and I did. I put in hard work for everybody, and I called them yes, sir, and yes, sir. I learned that. I learned if you treat your boss with respect, you'll go up. You'll go up the ladder. It'll go well with you. And I got job after job after job, raise after raise after raise. Whereas otherwise, you'll get fired, right? So hard work is rewarded. I commended Chance back there and Emma. Emma worked at McDonald's and Chance now works at Walmart. The world doesn't think too highly of jobs like that. What do? I flip hamburgers. Really? Don't they? The world laughs at that, scoffs at that. What's God say about that? They're both service-oriented. They're servants. What's the scripture say about servants? Greatest in the kingdom of heaven is a servant. And I commended them for working that. He said he enjoyed it. Emma was employee of the month. Right up there on the sign, wasn't it? Wasn't it, Papa? That's a reflection on you. That man works hard. I've seen him work. Where'd she get that from? Her grandmother, her father, her mother. That's right, her mother. It'll go well with you. It'll go well with you. Fathers, verse 4, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, brothers and sisters, I just told you a little, you've heard my story over and over again. I'm ashamed, but that's past. Do you understand? My past life is gone. The Lord's not holding me accountable for that anymore. And the salvation of your children, aren't you glad, is not in your hands? Because no matter how you raise them or how you don't raise them, salvation's of the Lord. Now that's comforting. That's comforting. But fathers, verse 4, provoke not your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Don't be overbearing and hard. You know, too often it's hard being a parent, especially the first child. You don't know what you're doing. And too often a father wants to be a father, an authority, you know, and try to rule with an iron hand, you know. I'm your father. You know, young preachers try to do it, pastors. I heard a young man one time get up. I heard him on tape. He said that he hadn't been preaching long, pastor. And he said, when I get up here, I'm not your pastor. I'm not your friend. I'm your pastor. And our Lord Jesus Christ is our pastor. And he's our Lord. He's our friend. Friend of sinners. That's how he came the first way. Friend of sinners. That young man is out of the ministry. The Lord removed him. But too often fathers are overbearing and hard and don't rule with an iron hand and a furrowed brow. Rule with a soft hand and a smile on your face. It'll accomplish a lot more. You know, I wish I knew as a father what I know now as a grandfather. Don't you? Don't you, Ron? I wish I knew now as a grandfather, as a father then, as I know as a grandfather. There's some things that just let it slide. Because it's going to pass so fast and you're going to miss it. And you're going to have a lot of regrets. My father has regrets concerning. When my oldest brother died, he withdrew. And he didn't give me and my brother the time. And he regretted it for years. I'm not blaming him. I'm not blaming him. He immersed himself in the ministry. In the neglect of two sons. And I'm not saying that to dishonor him. I'm just, you know, he literally gave up his family for the gospel. But if you have children, they need you. Fathers and mothers. You have a responsibility to them. Don't rule with an iron hand. Don't let them do things, fathers. So if you're a perfectionist, it's so hard to watch your child do something and just mess it up. You know what I'm saying? Let them do it. And thank them. You know, reward them, whatever. And then when they're gone, fix it. That's what it is. Sophie and Isabella, man, they wanted to help me so much, you know. And I tried with Hannah, I really did. And I did in a minute. I let her do things. I had her, fathers, make your daughters change a tire on the car. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Well, this was before, Kelly, it was before we had cell phones. And they gonna need to know how to change a tire. They can't just call daddy. But anyway, I had Hannah changing the tire on the car. Her boyfriends didn't know how. But let them do things. Have them, teach them to do things. We're raising up a generation, not you, but many, raising up a generation that can't do anything except work on a computer. What good is that? Fathers, treat them. How does our Heavenly Father treat us? Does He rule us with an iron hand and a frown on His face? He ought to, shouldn't He? He didn't. He's kind. Look at verse 4. Bring them up in the nurture. What do you think of nurturing? Take tender care, not nurture. The tender care. Like a little plant. You're taking care of a little baby. Admonition, though. Admonition is needed in it. Admonition of the Lord. Loving correction. Admonition and chastening of the Lord is not punishment. It's correction. There's a difference. The Lord chastens, that means He lovingly corrects us. We don't get punished for our sins. He hadn't dealt with us after our sin, has He, John? Mm-mm. He did deal with someone after our sin. He dealt with Christ after. No mercy. Christ received no mercy. A rod of wrath on His back that we should have had, that Christ took. And He deals with us in mercy. So, look at verse 5. Verse 4, I'm sorry. It says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, fathers, not for authority's sake, but love's sake. Love's sake. Do it in love to them. Now, verse 5. Servants, employees. And I've got everybody up here, so I'm going to take a little more time. Servants. This is employee. Be obedient to them that are your masters according to flesh. With fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. And in another place it says not only to the good but the evil. Man, I've worked for some tyrants. I mean to tell you, I've worked for some mean bosses. Does that make any difference? You got a job to do. You do what they tell you to do. They say jump, you jump. Right? They gave you the job. Employees, be obedient. Do what you're told. Do what you're paid to do with fear and trembling. That's not fear of man. Not to fear man. Not tremble before any son of Adam. Oh, no. No. I love the thought of our Lord Jesus Christ before Pilate. Who was trembling? Who was afraid? He wasn't our Lord. He was Pilate. Even his wife called him and said, "Honey, I don't have anything to do with this man. I couldn't sleep all night because of him." No, we're not to fear and tremble before man, but we'll do what we do in fear and trembling before the Lord. Fear not doing what the Lord told us to do. Tremble at the thoughts. Tremble at the thought of bringing him dishonor. Listen to this. And I've told this before, but you know all a preacher is a fellow that repeats what God says over and over and over and over. I want to repeat myself. There was a man that called a friend of mine, a pastor of a church. He called him and he said, "I want to know what you preach down there. Because there's a man that works for me as a member of your church." He said, "Whatever it is you preach down there that produces a man like this, I want to know what it is." Wow. I'd like that to be said of me, wouldn't you? Where do you go to church? I want to know if it produces people like that. Employees, be obedient with singleness of heart, that is, your heart, that love and thanks to our Lord. Who really gave you that job? Did you get that job because you were more qualified than somebody else? Did you get that job because of who you knew and your contacts and you had an insight? You got that job because who knew you? Because who gave you favor in the sight of the Egyptians? Children of Israel all had favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Who? Why? Because they were favorable people? Because God favored them. They were His favorites. And He gave them favor. He gave them. They went out of there. People were giving them money. No, and they weren't coming back. "Here, take this. We don't need it. Take it." Who did that? So who gave you the job? Who are you really working for? All right, verse 6. Don't do it with eye service as men pleasers. As the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Not, you know, to be well thought of men, but out of a heart of love and gratitude to the Lord. Not for praise and honor and glory. Oh, no. As unto the Lord. Not for promotion, but as unto the Lord. With goodwill, verse 5. Goodwill, doing service as to the Lord, not to men. I remember working, you know, I worked non-union jobs and I worked union jobs. And it's good and bad points in both. The right to work law, you know. I remember working non-union jobs under tyrants. They were just tyrants. They just exacted too much out of it, like slave labor. That's not good. And then I started working for union construction and the railroad union. Ooh, powerful. Stephen, and you got men that the union protects them, and that they won't hit a lick with it. It's bad, isn't it? And I remember men doing things that were detrimental to the well-being of the company. Didn't care. The union take care of them. And I'd say to them, "Fellas, this is our company. It'd go well with us. If this company goes well, it'd go well with us. We have a right to do well by this company because we'll lose our jobs if the company doesn't prosper. Be a company man." They couldn't understand that. Could they? And no unbeliever can. But we do. Not the praise of men. So I was taught well. I'm thankful. Taught well from the pulpit. I heard these things from the pulpit. You're not going to hear this in school. And I was taught well at home. At home. Verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Is that what that said? What does it mean? It means exactly what it said. Why would we turn that around? This is what he's talking about. He's talking to children. He's talking to employees, employers, and fathers, and so on. You masters, now employers, business owners, verse 9. Do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening. Knowing your master is in heaven. You still have a boss, don't you? Lord. Neither is there respect of persons with him. What does that mean? Exactly what is it? God is no respecter of person. Do well by them. Whatever good, whatever's right, as unto the Lord. Employers. Let me close by this with this illustration. There was back years ago when I was sailing ships. And boy, that was a hard, hard life. I used to read those books all the time, loved them. But in wartime, they would go out and press men into service. Means they would take people by force and make them literal slaves in a ship. They had to work. The government, it was okay. The government said, do this. You're property of us now. Didn't ask you, did? And they would, well, it was hard life on that ship. The fact of the matter is, if that ship goes well, everybody on it goes well. No matter how they got there, your life is in that ship. Okay. I said, no, that's a good spiritual application. But anyway, it behooves the sailors to run, to serve the ship, the well-being of the ship. It behooves the masters and the captains and lieutenants and all that to run a taut ship, a tight ship, and to treat their sailors well and feed them right, doesn't it? The ship will go well. Well, on one of these old sailing ships, there was a cruel, like Captain Bligh, you know, cruel taskmaster. A mutiny will happen if you don't. A cruel taskmaster. And one time he was beating one of those sailors unmercifully. Tied him over the yard arm, they call it, and taking a cat of nine tails. And most of those sailors did not live through that. And after they got through beating it, take salt water and throw it all over. Anyway, there was a preacher on board that ship. And he was watching this man beat this other fellow unmercifully. And he went up to him and said, Captain, please, would you show some mercy? And the captain said, I never show mercy. And the preacher said, you better hope you're not a sinner, or you'll not find mercy from God. Show mercy. So that's the rule, isn't it? Loving obedience. It'll go well with you. Merciful. Kindness. And graciousness. Treating as unto the Lord. His honor. His glory. Okay.